The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to Soulful Valley, the podcast for people who want to improve their quality of life through caring about their mental, emotional and spiritual well-being. I'm your host, Katie Carey, and I will be sharing wisdom and ideas from myself and some expert authors, coaches and energy healers that could be just what you need to hear to transform your life today. I'm so excited to announce that Soulful Valley is now a publishing house. Following my incredible journey with Intuitive, I was led to the opportunity to train as a publisher. My first project is a multi-author book called Evolving on Purpose, Mindful Ancestors Paving the Way for Future Generations. If you are a coach or healer and are serious about creating an impact and becoming more visible and would like to invest in this project, becoming a best-selling author in the process, send me an email to soulfulvalleypodcast@gmail.com and I'll send you an application link. We've already begun the journey. Our authors in the hub at the moment are writing their book bios. If you feel called to this amazing experience, get your application in as quickly as possible. And let's make your dreams a reality. Barbara Bustard is an artist, teaching artist, author, and meditative art workshop leader. A graduate of Notre Dame University of Maryland with a degree in religious studies and art, Barbara particularly enjoys providing spiritual and meditative art experiences. She is a firm believer in research which has proven that healing is in the process, that creating for the mere act of creating, regardless of the perfection of the end result, is very beneficial to one's mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual health. Barbara strives to develop the creative potential of every person, but most of all, a desire to create for the sake of creating, to receive all the benefits art provides. She is the author of The Art of Healing, 12 step-by-step meditative art exercises for improved physical, mental and spiritual well-being, and Haiku in Black and White, a collection of 100 haiku poems and black and white photography for daily inspiration. Barbara is also a contributing author in volumes 1 and 3 of the Ultimate Guide to Self-Healing series. When not teaching, making art or writing, Barbara enjoys nature photography, always looking for the extraordinary in the ordinary. For more information on meditative art sessions, you can contact Barbara through her website at barbarabustard.com. Hello, Barbara. Welcome to Soulful Valley.
Hi, Katie. Thanks. Glad to be here.
We've been trying to do this for a while, haven't we?
And
we've
we have.
Finally got together. So, Barbara, you wanted to talk with our audience today about the healing benefits of creativity.
Yes.
And I know how important this is myself. So the floor is yours. What can you share with us?
Okay. Well, first off, there are so many benefits physically, mentally, spiritually. And physically, I mean, art heals. It just looking at art can release endorphins in your brain, which of course creates a sense of well-being. And creating art is even more powerful. So when we create art, we open new neural pathways in our brain, and the more pathways, the better our brain functions. So there's first benefit right there.
Absolutely.
Better brain function. And another part of the better brain function besides the neural pathways is that when you're creating art, you're actually using both the right and left hemisphere. Mm. So your right side is your creative side, and the left side is your analytical, logical side. So, of course, the creating engages your imagination and helps you feel hopeful and see all kinds of possibilities. But when you're creating art, you're constantly making decisions. And those decisions are about color, what tools you're going to use, how to make a sculpture support itself, and all of those things engage your left side, your analytical side. So that it totally improves your brain function too, and improves memory and improves problem solving skills. Then as far as the body's concerned, when you engage in a creative activity, your mind relaxes. Yeah. And when your mind relaxes, your stress level decreases. And the number one cause of illness, the major underlying cause of illnesses, is stress.
Mm, absolutely.
So there's another big one. It also, the creative process reduces pain. Because again, when you're creating, your mind relaxes, your focus isn't on the pain that you may be feeling. And so if you're not noticing it as much, you're distracted from it, you take less pain medication. They've actually done hospital studies, and the people that were given creative activities while in the hospital reduced the amount of pain medication they required. Then there is, of course, just the feeling better, the releasing of the good hormones in your brain. So, of course, that'll lift your spirits, and it helps people with grief, sadness, depression. Now, of course, it's not a substitute if, you know, needing medical care for depression, but it can work alongside that and help to ease the state of depression.
Definitely. And when I ran my charity, which was an alternative mental health charity, we had an art therapy group in my house every week because it was really beneficial to them. And we did music therapy as well. We did all sorts
well,
of
music
things
is art.
Engaged.
Anything
yeah,
creative, exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Anything creative. Absolutely. And then that goes along with art helps people work through life events and illness. Mm. So it gives you a vehicle to express and release whatever emotions are present. And sometimes I always say art gives voice to the things where we can't find the words.
Absolutely.
It lets you express what is, art expresses the words caught in your throat, what you can't say, but you can put it out, even if it's just in the form of color. It doesn't have to be. And I'm not talking being a Rembrandt or a Michelangelo and being able to draw and paint realism. That isn't this type of art.
No, just art the same as any a child would do it.
Any creative activity, and it can just be putting color, different colors, because there's a whole, you know, color theory, not the technical part about mixing colors and stuff like that, but the color theory as emotional. Mm. We attach feelings to colors. Colors affect us. And there's general consensus basically of what, like, red is anger, you know, but it can also be love. It depends on how you've been engaged. Like, for an example, this is, I think I put this experience in the book when I talked about color theory. So I was saying goodbye to some friends one day after church. And I hugged the first one, then I hugged the second one. And when I hugged the second friend, Judith, I saw the most gorgeous jewel tone red. My whole inner vision, you know, was just this beautiful, beautiful red like I had never seen before. And I said, oh, I'm seeing red. Well, when I left, she turned to the other friend and said, oh my gosh, doesn't that mean she's mad? You know? Well, I guess not, because I married her 2 years later.
Oh, so. Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it was the most gorgeous red I have ever seen.
Red love hearts, then.
Right. Beautiful. So, but red also can be anger. I mean, if you
yeah, and
or fear. If you had an experience as a child of some negative experience and it involved the color red, whether it was something someone was wearing or something in the room, then you're not going to associate red with
somebody bleeding.
Right. So, you know, and they say blue is calming. Well, again, generally it is, but if you've had an experience with it that it wasn't, then you're not going to like blue and it's not going to calm you down. It's going to give you anxiety.
Yeah.
So
what would you suggest to help with things like that?
What, the color?
Triggers with colors, I suppose. Avoid them, or have more of it around so that you can reframe that?
Well, I think using it in art, you can reframe it to make it a positive thing. But the first chapter of my book, The Art of Healing, deals with, it's an exercise in making your own emotional color wheel. So we do a meditation and you go through all the colors and you notice what emotions does that evoke in you. And of course, if you're feeling anxious all the time and you realize that you really hate yellow and you've got a room painted yellow, well, change the color of your room. I mean, you know.
It makes you feel icky every time you walk into the room.
If you realize that that's something that sets you off, then yes, you know, go for a different color. But you could also use it, I do it as a way for expressing yourself. Like when you're just, you know, want to express some emotions or work through things, then what colors would you want for that? Are you really happy? What are your joyful colors? You know, and just paint a bunch of those colors. Or if you're going through anger, then, you know, and red is angry for you, then just take red and put red all over it and release it, you know? I had an exercise where I did that in a series of mandalas. And the first one was about releasing a lot of anger I had about life experience, you know, from a child. And I just took black. And the reason I chose a mandala, here's another thing, because for one thing, if sometimes you have so much built up anger of a past experience or whatever, that you're afraid to release it. Because it was like, if I let go, I'm not going to stop. I'm just going to like go crazy with this anger, right? Yeah. So I chose a mandala and all I did was that gave me a contained space to hold the anger so it wouldn't be like, you know, everywhere. And I used black. I just had black on a brush and I just like the whole circle and it was a good release. And then, of course, it was a three series thing. So then I went on to the next thing and the next thing where I, you know, was not expressing the anger. And then, of course, it was bright colors and things like that. But again,
have you always used art in this way, or is it something that's happened recently?
I think I always have, not so consciously as a child, but I was always creative. Like art was an escape, you know, it gave me, like I could be off into myself, not be stressed out, just be, you know, enjoying it. And I wrote poetry and things like that. But as an adult, definitely more and more and more, I realized, you know, I used art to work through divorce. I used art to work through grief. I use art to express joy. I use art as a big part of my spirituality. Things have been a little crazy, but I haven't had my quiet morning time like I usually do. Normally in the mornings I would get up and I have what I call my prayer journal. And in here, this is how I pray or meditate every morning.
Beautiful.
the center will have a word or a person. If my meditation or prayers are for a specific person going through something or something I need discernment with or whatever. So the center gets a word that's my focus. And then I build a mandala out from it. And so that's, I use that to discern things. I use it to work through things. I just use it as general, you know, I want to hold somebody up that needs something, or just as general blessing, you know, just give them everything they need, temporal and spiritual, you know, just for general purposes. And clay is a big part of, I was a potter for 20 some years, a ceramic artist. So I found clay very, very spiritually connecting for me. And I've had experiences where I received a revelation from spiritual direction, and I needed a way to keep that as a reminder. And so I made, when I went home, I made what I call meditation balls or prayer balls. And I just took clay and I made a hollow ball. Mm. And when I don't have this, my ceramics studio anymore, so I can't do fired clay, but I still do the meditation balls in workshops and things. It can be, you know, air dry clay, but when it's a fired clay inside the ball, before I would connect it on, and then I would have, when I did workshops, people, even children, you know, write something that you want to release to the universe, give to God, something that, you know, you need to let go of. Mm-hmm. And of course, put that piece of paper inside the ball and it's sealed. So when that ball is fired, that paper is burned to ash and released. Mm-hmm. And on the outside of the ball, before it's fired, of course, you can stamp letters, you can carve with a pencil, either a scripture verse, a saying, or just words that you want to remind yourself of. And then that is on the ball. And then I use it in meditation by holding it, because the weight of the ball kind of helps you keep focused. You know, sometimes it's hard to meditate. You start and then you're like, oh, I need to do this, or, oh, I should, you know, you get out of it and then you have to bring yourself back. And kind of the weight of the ball kind of keeps you focused that you're meditating. And I've had a lot of people tell me that.
Yeah, yeah. I've never heard of that before. So that's really,
well, it's because I made it up.
Well, that's the best way, isn't it?
It just happened that way. And people, you know, once I started to it, they're like, yeah, holding that ball, the weight of it, because clay's a, you know, it's a good weight. It weighs about a pound or a pound and a half, depending. I mean, I've made them, I can't get to them now, but I've made them this big. Actually, I have one downstairs that's this big, but normally it fits in your hand. And and then that is another part of art, because it helps us, it gives us a window into our higher authentic selves. Because if you combine it with meditation, but even without the meditation, because when you get involved in a process of creating, like I said, your mind relaxes and your brain relaxes, and that allows you to tap into that inner knowledge, that higher self, where we have all we need to know and the answers are there, but usually our brain is too busy and can't relax enough to just let that come through.
Yeah.
And there's been many a time where I've been working, you know, on a project and not necessarily meditating, but I'm involved in the project. And then all of a sudden I get real clarity on something that had been bugging me, you know, and I'd be sitting and thinking, what should I do? Or what should I, you know, and of course that doesn't ever help, right? You know, no, you don't get the answer, but it would come all of a sudden. I'd be like, oh, that's it. You know?
And I can relate to this, because I've written songs straight out of a meditation.
Right.
They just come straight through lyrics and the melody, which would have taken me weeks to sit and just to sit and work it out with the other side of my brain. So,
right.
We can be more productive in a kinder way to ourselves, can't we?
When we
do the things that maybe we think, those things that are quite playful, we think were there. I don't know. Some people have these talents and they end up not using them, don't they? I mean, I know I've had periods of my life where I haven't sang and I haven't used my gifts, and I've been depressed because I haven't realised it, but there have been periods. And there are talented people who don't make the time for
They feel that
gifts, don't think they're important.
Right. They don't think that that's a necessary thing. And it really is. We are creative. We are innately creative. And you need to create. That gives you the best well-being all over. If you create, I recommend doing something creative every day.
Absolutely.
Even if you're, I mean, even like I said, just looking at art. Well, if you look outside, all of creation is art. So take a walk and just look for the beauty in it. Look for I call it the extraordinary in the ordinary. Like really take the time to look at a squirrel and see how adorable and beautiful their little faces are. Or look at the birds and notice the beauty in their feathers and their expressions. Or even just look really close at a blossom, a flower, you know. Get up close and look at the beauty in that.
And that just reminds me of my granddaughter, who's 3 now. So, you know, the ladybird that is so fascinating and lifting the rock. And I think we need to get ourselves back to that level of curiosity that we had when we were toddlers, don't we?
That's it.
It's so exciting for them, isn't it? And somehow we lose that as we take life a bit too seriously.
Right. And the same thing with, excuse me, with art. I say in the book, get back to that 5-year-old that did something in art and it got hung on the refrigerator. Oh my gosh, look at my art, you know. Do that. Make art just for you. Don't worry about the end product, because the healing is in the process. The benefits are in the process of creating. It doesn't matter what it looks like in the end. Although doing these exercises in my book are step by step, and you get beautiful pieces, and you don't have to be an artist, in other words, a trained artist, professional, knowing how to draw. You get really pretty stuff worthy of framing and hanging on the wall. I mean,
and it's back to that being a young child again, where it didn't matter what you created, did it?
You just created. We naturally create.
And you know it's beautiful, however it looks, because there's nobody there to criticize you. I think that's part of it, isn't it? So the inner critic comes there, and other people, you being worried about other people criticizing something. But it's such an amazing form of expression. So where can our listeners find you if they want to learn more, Barbara?
Okay, my website now is changed to barbarabuster.com because I'm redoing it. So it used to be artforbodymindandsoul.com. And I think even if you put that in, if you look down, you'll find it'll say barbarabuster.com somewhere. But also Facebook. I have a personal page, so you can just friend me. And I also have Art for the Soul. I have my photography page. I have my author page. But you can just friend me. You can email me at artforbodymindandsoul@gmail.com or message me on Messenger. I'm fine with that. I have several Instagrams. There's a photography and a personal and an Art for Body, Mind, and Soul Instagram, I believe. And so, or email me. I don't, you know, any way you want to get in touch with me is fine.
Thank you. Wonderful. Is there anything else that you'd like to share today that you haven't mentioned?
Well, just the importance of just creating for the sake of creating. I consider that our life is full of seasons, and I don't mean, you know, I there's like a spring season where we grow and we learn, we have new adventures, you know, it might be a brand new phase of life. There's summer seasons that are just everything's going great. It's carefree, full of laughter and joy. And then there's fall seasons where you have to let go of things. You have to transition. There could be grief or loss or changes. And the winter seasons are hibernation and rest and quiet, which is healing and preparing for your next spring, which is a new adventure or whatever. Now, these seasons don't come in order. They don't coincide with the seasons of the year. They're just seasons in your life. And you can have a couple of them at a time, you know, they can overlap. Like
you can something. Have them all in one day, can't you? Really?
Right. One area of your life is like summer, everything's great. But another area of your life could be a time of change and transition. And using art and meditation combined really allows our spirit to speak to us and to express our soul's journey, whether it's joy or grief or exhaustion or desire for a new path, a new way to go. And so I just encourage people to, you know, create, just do anything to create and let your mind relax. And if you combine it with a meditation beforehand, that's a focused, like each one of these exercises in my book. Oh, this is the book, by the way, The Art of Healing. Okay. 12 step-by-step meditative art exercises. They have a focus that you can, you don't have to do the exercises with the meditation, but each one is geared to a focus, like, you know, finding out what you want to do or what you can be or just remembering, like, what a great, colorful life you have. If, you know, sometimes we forget that. We think, oh, this was bad, this was bad. But if you do this art, when you're done, it's beautiful. Mm. And yeah, it's got some other, you know, some unpleasant stuff, but then there's good stuff. And it's all combined in this beautiful image. So I just definitely, you need to create every day and just make the art for yourself. It isn't about the end product. It's the process.
It's all about the journey, isn't it?
And the experience. Yeah.
Thank you for your time today, Barbara. I will be putting the links in the show notes. So I'll put the link to your book in there as well, because I quite fancy that myself.
Okay, great.
Thank you for coming in today.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Katie. I enjoyed it.
Bye for now.
Bye.
So ask yourself, is this for me? Give yourself some boundaries. Learn to trust your intuition now.
Thank you for listening to the Soulful Valley podcast. Hopefully you will have heard something today that helps you feel a little lighter and more connected and aware of who you really are. My aim is to share love, light and wisdom, raise consciousness and ease suffering. If you've enjoyed the show, please subscribe, rate and review, and let others know about this podcast if you think that it would help them in any way. You can find me at the Soulful Valley podcast page on Facebook. My website is soulfulvalley.com. You can also connect with me on Instagram at Soulful Valley.